Welcome on to NBA Recap. Today is Wednesday, March 16th, and we just had four games on in the NBA last night, so let's get right into them. Starting off in Indiana, the Grizzlies defeated the Pacers 135-102. In Orlando, the Nets demolished the Magic 150-108. In Miami, the Heat edged past the Pistons 105-98. And finally, in New Orleans, the Pelicans were defeated by the Phoenix Suns 131-115. So we will break down all four of those games in just a moment, but first, if you'd like to follow the show on social, we are at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. And if you enjoy the show, consider subscribing or leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. All right, so starting off today in Indiana, where the Pacers were handily defeated by the Memphis Grizzlies, 135-102. The Grizz did not have Ja Morant, so they were led by Desmond Bane. He had 21 points in the starting lineup. And they also got 19 points from Jaren Jackson Jr., and Steven Adams chipped in with a double-double, 13 points and 13 rebounds. Whereas the Pacers were led by Jalen Smith. Off the bench, he had 15 points in 27 minutes. He had 8 rebounds as well. The starters were led by Buddy Hield. He had 14 points. But this game was, offensively at least, a struggle for the Pacers, to say the least. Tyrese Haliburton just had 4 points on 2 of 9 shooting. Malcolm Brogdon was 4 of 13, O'Shea Brissett was 3 of 12, and Isaiah Jackson, rounding out the starters, was 3 of 9. So not the best offense for the Pacers in this game. They were unsurprisingly handily defeated in the end. They shot just 42% from the field and 20% from 3, whereas the Grizzlies were very efficient, 51% from the field, 37% from 3, and to make matters worse, the Grizz were very tidy with the ball, whereas the Pacers were very sloppy with the ball handling. They had 20 turnovers versus just 10 for the Grizzlies, and so they were keeping pace in the first quarter. It was a 7-point advantage for the Grizzlies heading into the second, but then that's where things really got out of hand. They outscored the Pacers in the second quarter 42-24, so this was already basically a blowout at the half. It was a 25-point game heading into the third quarter, and then the Grizzlies actually expanded upon that even further in the third. They outscored the Pacers by 9, so total blowout here in Indiana. The Grizzlies cruised to victory in the fourth, and so with this win, they now improve to 48-22. So that is good for second in the Western Conference. They're half a game up now on the Warriors in third, and they're still 7.5 games behind the Phoenix Suns in first. And the Grizzlies are plus 5.3 in the point differential. That is fourth best in the West. They're on a 4-game winning streak, and they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pacers, this loss takes them to 23-47. So they are still in 13th in the Eastern Conference. They are 6 games behind the Knicks in 12th, and 4.5 games up on the Pistons in 14th. So it looks pretty certain that the Pacers will remain throughout the rest of the season in that 13th spot. They are negative 2.8 in the point differential, which is finally getting more in line with their place in the conference standings. The only team worse ahead of them in the standings is the Wizards. They've lost 2 games in a row, and they're 3-7 in their last 10. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Grizzlies were led, as I mentioned, by Desmond Bane, the sophomore shooting guard. He had 21 points in 23 minutes only. He was 7 of 12 from the field, 4 of 7 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, and a block. He was plus 29 in the plus-minus. That was a team high, along with Jaren Jackson. So just a fantastic performance in limited minutes from Desmond Bane. And then they also got 19 points from the aforementioned Triple J, Jaren Jackson. He only played 21 minutes, and he was 8 of 16 from the field in that time. He had 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 steals, and 3 blocks, and 0 turnovers as well. So fantastic fantasy production, especially on a per-minute basis from Jaren Jackson. And then they also got a double-double from Steven Adams, 13 points and 13 rebounds in 23 minutes. He was 6 of 7 from the field, 2 assists and a block as well. 10 points for Dylan Brooks. Good to see him back in the lineup for the Grizzlies. They will definitely benefit from his defensive intensity, although it's just so frustrating with the Grizzlies. Every time either Brooks or Morant returns, the other goes out, seemingly. So he's back, Ja's out, but nonetheless, he played 24 minutes in this game. He was not very efficient. 3 of 12 from the field, 0 of 5 from beyond the arc. He had 10 points, 1 rebound, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. And then Tyus Jones, rounding out the starting lineup, had 8 points and 10 assists in 26 minutes. He was also not very efficient, 3 of 11 from the field, but he had 2 three-pointers, 2 rebounds, and 1 steal. And off the bench for the Grizzlies, they got 18 points from D'Anthony Melton. He played 28 minutes, so that was actually the team high, and he was 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 8 from beyond the arc. He was on fire in this game. He had 3 rebounds, 6 assists, and 3 steals as well. Then they also got 11 points from Zaire Williams, the rookie, in 16 minutes. He had 3 3-pointers, 2 rebounds. 9 points for John Conchar. He was 4 of 5 from the field. He had 6 rebounds, 3 assists. And they also got 13 points from Brandon Clark. He was perfect, 6 of 6 from the field in 18 minutes only. And he had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 3 blocks. And 4 points for Kyle Anderson, 5 for Xavier Tillman, and 4 for Jarrett Culver. And as for the Pacers, they were led, as I mentioned, by Jalen Smith off the bench. The former Sun had 15 points and 8 rebounds in 27 minutes. He was 5 of 12 from the field. He had 2 threes, 2 assists, and he was negative 10 in the plus-minus. But that was actually significantly better than all 5 of the starters. They were all at least negative 22 in the plus-minus, so we can move on to them. And that's exactly what Buddy Hield was, negative 22. In 27 minutes, he had 14 points on 6 of 13 shooting, 0 of 2 from beyond the arc. He had 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 12 points for Malcolm Brogdon in 28 minutes. He was 4 of 13 from the field, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc. And he had 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. He was the team low, negative 34 in the plus-minus. And then the rest of the starters didn't do a whole lot. Tyrese Halliburton in 30 minutes was 2 of 9 from the field. He had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, and 1 steal. 9 points for the rookie, Isaiah Jackson. In 21 minutes, he was 3 of 9 from the field. He had 7 rebounds and 2 blocks. He is a per-minute beast in terms of the rebounds and blocks. And then O'Shea Brissett had 7 points and 4 rebounds in 21 minutes, although he was just 3 of 12 from the field. So the shooting was pretty abysmal for the Pacers starters. And off the bench, besides Jalen Smith, they also got 14 points from Terry Taylor in 27 minutes. He was very efficient, 7 of 8 from the field. He had 8 rebounds and 2 blocks as well. 13 points for Dwayne Washington Jr. in 18 minutes. He had 2 3-pointers, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And 5 points for the rookie Chris Duarte, 5 as well for the veteran Lance Stephenson, and 4 points for Kiefer Sykes. All right, next up we can move on to Orlando, where the Magic were absolutely demolished by the Brooklyn Nets and specifically Kyrie Irving, 150-108. Kyrie Irving, just one night after Karl Anthony Towns set an NBA season record with 60 points, Kyrie matched him with 60 as well. He was just incredible, tying Kat for the season high for any player this season and setting a personal career best and a Brooklyn Nets franchise record. So very reminiscent of last night with Karl Anthony Towns. Kyrie was just incredible. He had 60 points on 20 of 31 shooting, 8 of 12 from 3, and 12 of 13 from the free throw line. And he also chipped in with 6 rebounds, 4 assists, and 4 steals as well. So just giving you a little bit of everything from a fantasy perspective, but also just from a real life perspective, he was unconscious. And just a couple of other stats, he's the third player in the past 25 seasons to score at least 40 points in the first half, joining Kobe Bryant and Klay Thompson. And then it's also the first time in NBA history that two teammates have scored 50-plus points in consecutive games, because, of course, Kevin Durant had 53 in their last game. So that is just remarkable stuff from Kyrie and Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. And as a team, overall, they shot in fantastically as well, thanks in large part to Kyrie. They were 60% from the field and 59% from three. So this was just a total demolition. The rest of the Nets, they got 19 points from Kevin Durant. He was 6 of 9 from the field. And then double-digit scoring from 5 other players, including Patty Mills off the bench with 15 points on 5 of 7 shooting from beyond the arc. Whereas the Magic were led by Cole Anthony, the sophomore point guard. He had 19 points in 25 minutes. He had 3 3-pointers. And 18 points for Wendell Carter, 17 off the bench from Mo Wagner. But like I said, a totally dominating victory here for the Nets. They outscored the Magic 48-30 in the first quarter, so it was already almost 20 points. But then they quickly blew past that. They outscored the Magic 38-26 in the second. So by halftime, with Kyrie scoring 40 points in the first half, it was 86-56, a 30-point game. And then the Magic weren't really able to make much headway in the third quarter, so it was total garbage time in the fourth. And that's when the Nets ran the scoreline all the way up to 150, outscoring the Magic 34-19 there in the fourth quarter. So incredible stuff here. The Nets, with this victory, they now improved to 36-33. So they are just rattling off wins here now. They are on a 4-game winning streak. They're in eighth right now. They are 1.5 games behind the Toronto Raptors in seventh, who are also on a 4-game winning streak. And then they are 1.5 games up on the Atlanta Hawks in ninth. And the Nets are plus 0.2 in the point differential, finally positive, thanks to this win. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And as for the Magic, this loss takes them to 18-52, so they're already eliminated from the playoffs. They have been for a while now. They are half a game behind the Detroit Pistons in 14th. The Magic are -8.0 in the point differential, which is second worst in the East, ahead of just the Pistons. And they are 5-5 in their last 10 games, but they're now once again on a two-game losing streak. All right, so moving on to the box score. And the Nets were, of course, led by Kyrie Irving. 60 points in 35 minutes. He was 20 of 31 from the field, 8 of 12 from 3, and 12 of 13 from the free throw line. Incredible. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and a block, and he only had 1 turnover as well. So just incredible fantasy numbers. He was plus 36 in the plus minus. They also got 19 points from Kevin Durant in 30 minutes. He was 6 of 9 from the field. He didn't even attempt a 3-pointer. Kyrie had that covered. But he was 7 of 8 from the free throw line, and he had 5 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 steal. And then 10 points for Bruce Brown and Andre Drummond. Brown was 3 of 8 from the field, and he had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block. And Drummond was 4 of 7 from the field. He had 6 rebounds and 1 block to go along with his 10 points. And Goran Dragic actually rounding out the starting lineup. He did not score at all in 20 minutes. He was 0 of 2 from the field. He had 3 rebounds and 4 assists. But off the bench for the Nets, they got 15 points from Patty Mills. He was on fire in this game, 5 of 7 from the field, but all he took were 3-pointers in 22 minutes, and he did nothing else in the box score. No free throws, no rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, turnovers. It was just the 5 3-pointers for Mills. And then they got 14 points from Kessler Edwards, the rookie. He was on fire as well, 6 of 8 from the field. He had 2 threes, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. 12 points and 10 rebounds for Nick Claxton in 24 minutes. He was 5 of 9 from the field. 6 points for James Johnson, 4 for Blake Griffin in 12 minutes. And as for the Magic, they were led, as I mentioned, by Cole Anthony. He had 19 points in 25 minutes. He was 5 of 11 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc. He had 4 rebounds, 7 assists. 18 points for Wendell Carter in 26 minutes. He had 7 rebounds and 4 assists. 16 for Franz Wagner, the rookie. He wasn't super efficient, 5 of 13 from the field, but he was 2 of 2 from the 3-point line and 4 of 4 from the free throw line. So that actually salvaged his line a little bit, and he had 1 rebound, 2 assists. And then 8 points for Mo Bamba in 17 minutes, the big man. He had 2 3-pointers and 3 rebounds. And 6 points for RJ Hampton rounding out the starting lineup. He was just 2 of 8 from the field. And off the bench for the Magic, they got 17 and 11 from Mo Wagner in 22 minutes. He was 7 of 15 from the field. He had 2 assists and 1 3-pointer. And then they also got 9 points from Chuma Okeke in 30 minutes. He had 3 threes. 3 points for Admiral Schofield. 5 for Ignas Brazdeikis. 5 as well for Markel Fultz, although he was just 1 of 7 from the field. But he did have a nice chase down block on Kyrie Irving at one point. He was pretty much the only player to ever be able to stop him with that block. And then 2 points for Terrence Ross, and he was 1 of 5 from the field. So the shooting was pretty poor off the bench for the Magic, with Ross going 1 of 5, Fultz going 1 of 7, Schofield going 1 of 4, and Okeke going 3 of 9. All right, next we can move on to Miami, where the Heat defeated the Detroit Pistons 105-98. This was a much less convincing victory than the previous one over one of those bottom two teams in the Eastern Conference. The Heat were leading pretty significantly at one point in the middle of the third quarter. They were up by double digits after a Markieff Morris 9-footer. It was 66-54 with about 7 minutes to go in the third. So it looked like the Heat might be able to open up a pretty significant lead there in the third quarter. But then the Pistons were resilient and they fought back. They actually took the lead themselves by the end of the third quarter. It was actually a 5-point advantage for the Pistons heading into the fourth quarter, and then was back and forth down the stretch. Ultimately, Tyler Hero had a clutch 3-pointer with 1:57 left on the clock. That one extended the lead for the Heat to 5. It was 99-94, and then they were just able to hold on to that lead from there on out. So a gritty win here for the Heat. Not at all a fait accompli that they were going to win this game late in the fourth quarter, but they were able to pull it out despite a pretty lackluster performance from several guys in the starting lineup. Jimmy Butler was 2 of 9 from the field, Kyle Lowry was 0 of 3, and Duncan Robinson was 2 of 10. So their leading scorer was Tyler Hero off the bench. He had 29 points, and he was on fire. He was 8 of 15 from the field, including 4 3-pointers. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again, there is no way he does not win Sixth Man of the Year at this point. It's kind of like Jordan Clarkson last year. At a certain point, he had already won the award, and he kind of cooled off at the end of the season, but everybody had already made up their minds that he was going to win the Sixth Man of the Year award. So there is not a chance that Tyler Hero does not win it, and the betting markets definitely bear that out. Right now, according to FanDuel, he is minus 20,000. So you have to put $20,000 down to get $100 back for that bet, which, I mean, that's pretty ridiculous, but it is warranted because there's not much that could happen from here on out that would make him lose that award. So anyways, they also got 16 points from Bam Adebayo in the starting lineup and 16 off the bench as well from Max Strus. And he was on fire as well. He had 4 3-pointers like Tyler Hero. And as for the Pistons, they were led by Jeremy Grant. He had 22 points. He was 8 of 20 from the field. They got 16 points off the bench from Isaiah Livers and 13 points also off the bench from Marvin Bagley. And remarkably, as a team, the Pistons actually shot better than the Heat. They were 46% from the field, whereas Miami was just 40%. But the Heat did shoot better from beyond the arc. They were 36%, whereas the Pistons were just 29%. And the Heat had the edge on the boards. They out-rebounded the Pistons 44-39 as well. So in the end, like I said, a gritty win here for the Heat to be able to withstand that Pistons comeback and get this victory. And so they now improve to 46-24. So that's good for first still in the Eastern Conference. And they are 2.5 games up on the next team, the Milwaukee Bucks, 3.5 games up on the Philadelphia 76ers in third. And the Heat are plus 4.7 in the point differential. That's second best in the East behind just the Celtics. And they're 7-3 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pistons, this loss takes them to 18-51. So as I mentioned previously, half a game up on the Orlando Magic in last. They do have that negative 8.8 point differential, though. That is worst in the East, second worst in the NBA, better than just the Rockets. And they are on a 4-game losing streak. They're 4-6 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and Jeremy Grant, like I said, led the way for the Pistons. He had 22 points in 39 minutes. I failed to mention this previously, but there was no Cade Cunningham. He had a non-COVID illness in this game. Frank Jackson and Hamidou Diallo were also unavailable for the Pistons, so they were a bit shorthanded. But Grant, he was 1 of 5 from 3 and 8 of 20 from the field overall. He had 4 rebounds and 2 steals with a block as well. And then they also got 13 points from Sadiq Bey in 37 minutes. He was not very efficient either. 4 of 12 from the field, 1 of 9 from 3. He had 3 rebounds and 6 assists. And then 9 points for Corey Joseph in just 18 minutes. He was 4 of 6 from the field. 8 points for Rodney Magruder in 20 minutes. And the sophomore big man Isaiah Stewart rounding out the starting lineup was brutal in this game. Just 2 points on 0 of 5 shooting. He did have 8 rebounds and 2 blocks though. And off the bench for the Pistons, they got 16 points from Isaiah Livers, and he was actually one of the sole bright spots for Detroit. He was 6 of 7 from the field, including 4 three-pointers. He had 6 rebounds, 2 assists. He was plus 15, which is by far the team high. And in fact, all 5 starters were significantly negative in the plus-minus, whereas all 4 guys off the bench for the Pistons were positive. They got 13 points from Marvin Bagley, their recent acquisition from the Sacramento Kings. He was also a bright spot for the Pistons. He was 6 of 9 from the field, and he had 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 blocks. And then 9 points for Killian Hayes. He was 4 of 10 from the field. He had 4 rebounds, 8 assists. And Kelly Olynyk rounding off the bench for Detroit. He had 6 points and 5 rebounds with 2 steals in 13 minutes. And as for the Heat, they were led, as I mentioned, by Tyler Hero, basically carrying the team offensively. He had 29 points in 34 minutes. He was 8 of 15 from the field, 4 of 8 from 3, and 9 of 11 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 4 assists. As for the starters, they were led by Bam Adebayo. He had 16 points in 24 minutes. He was 4 of 8 from the field, 8 of 10 from the free throw line, and he had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He was actually the team high, plus 25 in the plus minus. And then they also got 12 points from Duncan Robinson, but like I said, he was rough, 2 of 10 from the field. Both of his makes came from beyond the arc, although he was 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 3 rebounds. Kyle Lowry was also rough, 0 of 3 from the field, but he was also 6 of 6 from the free throw line, and he had 7 rebounds, 4 assists. And then Jimmy Butler wasn't much better. He was 2 of 9 from the field. He had 2 rebounds, 3 assists for just 8 points, although he was 4 of 4 from the free throw line. So the free throw is definitely salvaging the starter's true shooting percentage just a little bit. And then they got 5 points from PJ Tucker rounding out the starters. In 32 minutes, he had 5 rebounds, 1 assist. And off the bench for the Heat, besides Tyler Hero, they also got 16 points from Max Strus in 16 minutes. Like I said, he had 4 three-pointers. He was 6 of 9 from the field overall. He had 3 rebounds. 2 points only for Victor Oladipo. He saw the court for 16 minutes. He was 1 of 2 from the field in that time. 9 points for Markieff Morris in 17 minutes as well. He was 3 of 6 from the field, and he had 4 rebounds. And 2 points for the backup big man, Dewayne Dedmon. He was negative 23 in the plus-minus, which was the team low. All right, and finally, we can move on to New Orleans, where the Pelicans were handily defeated by the Phoenix Suns, 131-115. The Suns were led by Devin Booker. He had 27 points in 30 minutes in the starting lineup, and he had 4 3-pointers. And they got 20 points from Mikal Bridges. He also had 4 3-pointers, 18 from DeAndre Ayton, and 19 off the bench for the backup big man, JaVale McGee. Whereas the Pelicans were led by the rookie, Herb Jones. He had 22 points in the starting lineup. He was very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field. And then they also got a very efficient 16 points from Jackson Hayes, also in the starting lineup. Devontae Graham was back in the starting lineup. He had 10 points only, though. CJ McCollum had 21, and Jonas Valanciunas had a double-double with 17 and 12. But once again, there was no Brandon Ingram for the Pelicans, and so they were just slowly but surely edged in this game, and it was really the fourth quarter where things got out of hand. They were in contention throughout the majority of regulation. The Suns had a lead in the second quarter. It was a double-digit lead after a Mikal Bridges three-pointer with about 5 minutes to go, but then the Pelicans would fight back just a little bit, and they would get it to within 2 points at one point with a minute left in the first half. And then it was a similar story in the third quarter as well. The Suns opened up a bit of a lead, and then the Pelicans would fight back. But then at the end of the third is when they finally had a 13-point lead, and they would not relinquish it from there on out. The fourth quarter was all Phoenix until the last couple of minutes, which was garbage time, and they were able to chip away at the lead a little bit. But it was basically a blowout at that point. About midway through the fourth quarter, Landry Shamet hit a three-pointer that put the Suns up by 21. It was 122-101. So like I said, basically garbage time down the stretch. And so the Suns comfortably get the victory in the end. And they shot the ball, unsurprisingly, very efficiently. 54% from the field, 52% from three. They were just on fire from beyond the arc. Whereas the Pelicans were not terrible. 50% from the field, 35% from three, but just not good enough to keep pace with the Suns. And they were also very sloppy with the ball. They had 17 turnovers versus just 9 for Phoenix. So a good win here for the Suns against a capable opponent in the New Orleans Pelicans, still obviously playing without Chris Paul, and so they now improve to 55-14 with this win. The Suns, they are on top of the Western Conference, obviously, 7.5 games ahead of the Memphis Grizzlies in second, and 8 games up on the Golden State Warriors in third. The Suns are plus 8.1 in the point differential, which is best in the NBA. They're on a 2-game winning streak. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. And as for the Pelicans, this loss takes them to 28-41. So that is good for 10th in the West. They are 1.5 games behind the Lakers in 9th, only 1 game up on the Portland Trailblazers in 11th, and 2 games up on the Spurs in 12th. And the Pelicans are negative 1.9 in the point differential, which is better than the Lakers ahead of them, but worse than the Spurs below them. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. All right, so moving on to the box score, and the Suns were led, as I mentioned, by Devin Booker. He had ho-hum, just another 27 points in 30 minutes. He was 11 of 20 from the field, 4 of 9 from 3, and he had 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. And then they got 20 points from Mikal Bridges. He also had 4 three-pointers. He was 7 of 14 from the field overall. He had 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block. And then 18 points from DeAndre Ayton. He was very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field, 4 of 4 from the free throw line. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal. And 14 points for Cameron Payne, the starting point guard in place of Chris Paul. In 27 minutes, he was 5 of 6 from the field, including 2 threes. So incredible efficiency for Payne as well. He had 3 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. He's been filling in very capably when he's been starting. He's been injured a couple of these games without Chris Paul, but in the games that he has been in the starting lineup, he's been fantastic. And then Jay Crowder, rounding out the starting lineup, had 9 points on 3 of 6 shooting from beyond the arc. He had 3 rebounds, 4 assists. And off the bench for Phoenix, they got 19 points from the backup big man JaVale McGee. In 21 minutes, he was 7 of 10 from the field, 5 of 5 from the free throw line. In fact, the Suns as a team were perfect, 15 of 15 from the line. And McGee had 6 rebounds as well. He was plus 22 in the plus minus, which was nearly the team high, if not for Landry Shamet going plus 23. He had 6 points in 20 minutes. He was 2 of 5 from 3. And then they also got 11 points from Torrey Craig. He had 3 threes in 28 minutes. 5 points for Ish Wainwright in 4 minutes, and 2 points for Aaron Holiday. And as for the Pelicans, they were led, as I mentioned, by Herb Jones, the rookie. He had 22 points in 32 minutes. He was very efficient, 7 of 11 from the field, 3 of 6 from beyond the arc, and he was 5 of 5 from the free throw line, so really incredible scoring for Jones. He had 5 rebounds and 3 steals. And then they got a double-double from Jonas Valanciunas, 17 points and 12 rebounds. In 30 minutes, he was 8 of 14 from the field. He had 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. 21 points for C.J. McCollum in 32 minutes. He was 9 of 17 from the field. He had 3 threes, 5 rebounds, 9 assists, although he was 0 of 2 from the free throw line and he had 5 turnovers. 16 points for Jackson Hayes, the big man starting alongside Jonas Valanciunas. He was 6 of 7 from the field. He had 4 rebounds. And Devontae Graham rounding out the starting lineup, inserted back into the starting lineup by Willie Green. And he had 10 points in 28 minutes, but he was not very efficient. 3 of 11 from the field. He had 7 assists and 5 rebounds, though. And off the bench for the Pelicans, they got 11 points from the rookie Trey Murphy III. In 24 minutes, he was 3 of 6 from the field. All of his makes came from beyond the arc, and he had 4 rebounds. And 10 points for Willie Hernan Gomez. In 12 minutes, he was 5 of 9 from the field. He had 4 rebounds as well. And then they also got 3 points from Tyrone Wallace, 3 as well from Jose Alvarado, the other rookie. He had 7 assists, and 2 from Najee Marshall. All right, and that will do it for our box score breakdown. So we can now move on to fantasy, the standout and surprising fantasy lines of the night. We had a couple of fantastic options despite having limited games on in the NBA last night. Obviously, it's going to be Kyrie Irving, but just to run through some of the other options, you had Devin Booker dropping an easy 27 points and 8 assists. You had 14 and 8 from Cameron Payne with 3 steals. 19 points and 8 rebounds for Jaren Jackson. Desmond Bane had 21. Jonas Valanciunas had 17 and 12. But ultimately, it's got to be Kyrie Irving. He was incredible, tying Karl-Anthony Towns for the NBA's season best with 60 points just one night after Kat had 60. Irving set a new career high and a new franchise record. He had 60 points in 35 minutes. He was 20 of 31 from the field, 8 of 12 from 3, and 12 of 16 from the free throw line. Just incredible scoring from Irving. He had 6 rebounds, 4 assists, 4 steals, and a block as well, and only 1 turnover. So you really couldn't have asked for much more from Kyrie Irving. The 5 combined steals and blocks, and then the just 1 turnover is like the cherry on top of an incredible performance. So he is obviously your standout line of the night. And as for surprising line of the night, we're going to go with Herb Jones for the New Orleans Pelicans. He was fantastic in the starting lineup. He had 22 points leading the way for the Pelicans. Despite the loss, he was 7 of 11 from the field, 3 three-pointers, 5 rebounds, 3 steals, and he was perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line. That is fantastic stuff for Jones, the rookie. He is definitely one of the steals of the draft. He has been one of the Pelicans' starters for the majority of the season. And overall, he's only averaging about 10 points and 4 rebounds with 2 assists and 1.5 steals. So that's pretty solid. And he's got 0.8 blocks as well. So the defensive categories are pretty impressive for Jones as a small forward slash power forward. And this game was obviously well above his season averages. So he is going to be our surprising line of the night. And of course, Kyrie Irving is your standout line of the night. All right, and with that, we can move on now to our preview for tonight, Wednesday, March the 16th. And we've got 12 games on in the NBA tonight. Starting off in Cleveland, the Cavaliers face the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Sixers are -4. In Washington, the Wizards are taking on the Denver Nuggets, and the Nuggets are -5.5. In Charlotte, the Hornets face the Atlanta Hawks, and the Hornets are -1.5. In Brooklyn, the Nets are taking on the Dallas Mavericks, and the Mavs are -1.5. In New York, the Knicks take on the Portland Trailblazers, and the Knicks are -10.5. In Houston, the Rockets are taking on the Phoenix Suns, and the Suns are -11. In Minnesota, the Timberwolves take on the LA Lakers, and the Timberwolves are big favorites. They are -9. In San Antonio, the Spurs face off against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Spurs are -13. In Utah, the Jazz are taking on the Chicago Bulls, and the Jazz are -6. In Sacramento, the Kings take on the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Bucks are -9. In San Francisco, the Warriors take on the Boston Celtics, and the Warriors are -3.5. And finally, in Los Angeles, the Clippers take on the Toronto Raptors, and the Raptors are -2. All right, so plenty of good options here to pick from. I think we've got 3 best bets for today, but I was intrigued by a couple of other lines as well. The Phoenix Suns -11 in Houston. I mean, it's pretty easy to bet against the Rockets at this point, and if you've got the best team in the NBA in the Phoenix Suns, that seems like an easy bet to me. But the only reservation I have is that it's the second night of a back-to-back for Phoenix, and so they might be a little bit tired. They might not be able to cover that line. So I'm going to stay away from that one, but I'm definitely tempted by Suns -11. I'm also tempted by the Timberwolves -9 in Minnesota versus the Lakers. the Lakers have been terrible lately. They're 2-8 in their last 10, whereas the Timberwolves are the opposite. They're 8-2 in their last 10. They're on a two-game winning streak, and they've got a plus 3.1 point differential, whereas the Lakers are negative 2.6. So I'm definitely tempted by that one. But ultimately, I think it's going to be a stay away just because it feels a little bit too high, minus 9. So that one's going to be a stay away for me as well. Ultimately, our three best bets, we're going to start off in San Francisco, the Warriors. We're going to take them minus 3.5 versus the Celtics. So Boston is obviously on fire lately. They are 7-3 in their last 10, but they did lose their last one. But they've got that Eastern Conference best plus 5.6 point differential, so it's tough to go against them. But the Warriors are also on fire lately. They're on a four-game winning streak. And they just looked so much better in that last game with Draymond in the lineup. He only played like 20 minutes off the bench, but he just made a difference instantly. And they've also got this new three-guard lineup with Jordan Poole, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. I don't know if Steve Kerr is going to stick with that once Draymond gets reinserted back into the starting lineup, because I can't see him sending Andrew Wiggins or Kevon Looney to the bench. But nonetheless, Poole has been incredible even coming off the bench. But more importantly, it's the Draymond factor. He just elevates this team to another level. And so, assuming he's playing, I think the Warriors can cover this line and win by at least 4 points. So we're going to go with Golden State minus 3.5. And for our next best bet, we're going to go with the Utah Jazz at home, minus 5.5 versus the Bulls. I just don't think this line is quite high enough. The Jazz have obviously not been dominating the league this year like they have in past seasons. They are all the way down in fourth in the Western Conference, and they're only 6-4 in their last 10 games. But with that being said, they still have been pretty solid with Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell in the lineup. They are without Bojan Bogdanovic at the moment, so they had Daniel House in the starting lineup in their last one. But nonetheless, I think the Jazz can comfortably win this game, as the Bulls have really been struggling lately too. They are 4-6 only in their last 10 games. They're still struggling with no Lonzo Ball and no Patrick Williams. They do have Alex Caruso back now, which is good to see. He has definitely given them a little bit of a boost defensively, but they just really need that one extra person in Lonzo Ball to really complete their lineup and their rotation. And their plus 1.4 point differential is actually eighth best in the Eastern Conference, despite being all the way up in fourth. So I've got faith that the Jazz can not only win this game, but do so comfortably. So I'm going to take them minus 5.5 at home. And then finally, for our third best bet, I was tempted by the Portland Trailblazers plus 11.5 in New York. They are absolutely terrible at the moment, but the Knicks just don't really inspire much confidence either. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games. They're on a two-game losing streak. So I don't think the Knicks should be favored by 11.5 points by anybody in the league, despite the fact that it is the Portland Trailblazers who are absolutely in full tank mode at the moment. So I was just tempted by that one. But ultimately, I can't in good conscience bet on the Trailblazers right now. So we're going to stay away from that one. Our third best bet is going to be the Dallas Mavericks minus 1.5 in Brooklyn. And the reason for this is pretty simple. It's the second night of a back-to-back for Brooklyn, and Kyrie Irving will not be available. So obviously, Kevin Durant does have the capacity to carry the team on his back single-handedly. He, of course, scored like 52 or whatever it was 2 games ago. But Luka Doncic absolutely has that capacity as well. And the Mavericks should be more well-rested than the Nets, and the Nets don't have much of a home court advantage anyways. So I think I feel pretty comfortable going with the Mavericks. They've just got much better surrounding talent around Luka than the Nets do around Kevin Durant. And that's a pretty low line, minus 1.5. So I think the Mavericks can definitely win this game. Doesn't even have to be a blowout. They can just squeak by 2 points and they'll cover it. So we're going to take the Mavs minus 1.5 in Brooklyn. And then for our other best bets, we're going to go with the Utah Jazz minus 5.5 at home versus the Chicago Bulls. And finally, we're going to take the Golden State Warriors minus 3.5 at home versus the Boston Celtics. All right, and that will do it for us today. So thank you so much for tuning in. If you'd like to follow the show on social, we're at NBA Recap Pod, or you can just search YouTube or smart speakers for NBA Recap Podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to recap all 12 of those games and preview the action for Thursday, March the 17th. Until then, thanks for tuning in.